You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 12th, 2020, question, which one lied? Director of National Intelligence James Clapper or Director James Comey, FBI Director James Comey, when they were both in office? One of them lied, maybe both of them. Former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, new transcripts released show that he told Congress, under oath, he never briefed President Obama about the National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's phone calls with the Russian ambassador. Says he never told him anything about it. He said that July 2017, behind closed doors. Well, also behind closed doors, at that time, FBI Director James Comey said, Director of National Intelligence James Clapper told President Obama what we're doing. Somebody didn't get the word to keep their lips shut. In the meantime, the acting director of National Intelligence, Richard Grenell, deciding to declassify information about Obama administration officials, declassify and unmask those who were unmasking Michael Flynn. Unmasking is when an agency begins to let the general public know what they have inside the intel community, and often, instead of protecting a U.S. citizen's identities, they let the word leak out because they think it might help them. And, of course, such a leak would be illegal, and yet it did. And now we're apparently going to get the actual names who were involved in releasing that, quote, leak. Already, Obama's former National Security Advisor, Susan Rice, said, I didn't do it. We'll wait and see where the chips fall, right? Most Americans in a new CNN and NNN poll say the U.S. government continues to do a poor job preventing the spread of COVID-19. 54% say the administration not doing a good job. Actually, the government. By that, they mean the administration. By that, they mean Donald Trump. So today, we've got a hearing underway by teleconference, and among those testifying, Senator Anthony Fauci, the face of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, and, of course, Senator Schumer was so excited to have Fauci be testifying, he said, get in there and rip. Just let it rip. In other words, he wanted as much you could dump on Trump as to how he's been mishandling this as you can. So far, Fauci hasn't said anything that Trump overstepped, ignored, or anything. Not one thing. Not with the ammunition that they were hoping to see. He did say there are a risk of reopening states and communities too early, especially if some jump some of the checkpoints. Well, each state is making that decision. So far, they're not getting the decision they want to hammer the White House and Trump in particular from Dr. Fauci. But here's a game plan. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer saying, you know what? We need to have coronavirus oversight hearings in Congress several times a day. And such hearings should occur in every committee every week. You see what he's doing. He said we should be holding multiple serious oversight hearings every week. Every week. That means pay no attention to the Flynn case. Pay no attention to the testimony being released from behind closed doors. Pay no attention to Trump gaining on any polls or looking better. Pay no attention to anything. Joe Biden and Tara Reid, don't pay attention there. We had to focus on this. We need hearings. Hearings. He wants to run that up to November. Someone who should be questioning someone would be Governor Cuomo. The governor had given a directive. Anyone that has COVID-19 or possible COVID-19 should be admitted to a nursing home. Now he's realizing that was a death sentence for some, so he's pulling it back. Well, one New York lawmaker is now calling for a federal inquiry into the governor's decision. I think that's a good idea. He is the one who said, you need to go in there, and even if they have coronavirus, put them in a nursing home. A new survey out, Morning Consult poll, says former Vice President Joe Biden has an overwhelming lead against President Trump among voters who dislike both of them. They don't like anybody, but 46% said they'd vote for Biden compared to 14% who would vote for Trump. In other words, there's no chance campaigning. Biden has it. This is similar to those polls that said Trump will not win and Hillary Clinton will be the next president. You remember those? Oh, yeah, we remember.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Obamagate. It's been going on for a long time. It's been going on from before I even got elected. And it's a disgrace that it happened. And if you look at what's gone on, and if you look at now all of this information that's being released, and from what I understand, that's only the beginning.
Only the beginning. That's President Trump talking about the information, the testimony that's coming out now, as transcripts are released from closed-door meetings, hearings, involving the Flynn case, the Mueller investigation, and everything, all of it being unveiled. And those already coming out so far show, one, that Obama was certainly aware this was underway. That FBI agent or director at the time, Comey, and either Clapper and or Brennan, and Sally Yates, Deputy Attorney General at the time, all went to the Obama office and the Oval Office and told him where they stand on the Flynn case. And he did not tell them, well, you need to let the administration coming in that maybe Flynn might be working for the Russians. He never said, let's do anything like that. Flynn had had a phone conversation with a Russian ambassador. Flynn was part of the transition team coming in. And any and every time any administration begins to change, those coming in, particularly if they're from the other party, but even if they're in the same party, but they're not going to keep a lot of the staffers on that were with the president up to that point, they are transitioning. They're trying to set things up. And if part of their duties involve dealing with foreign affairs, many of them have probably had those conversations before. But the Justice Department was trying to use this simply as a perjury trap to trap Flynn. They already knew he had had a phone call. They're just acting like they were just shooting the bull and kind of raising that up and watching for him to make a misstatement about it. Well, the DOJ, of course, has decided to kick the case out. We're waiting for a judge to actually rule on it, to say that the Flynn case is dead. He hasn't done it yet. In the last hour, Hans von Spakovsky, constitutional lawyer with Heritage Foundation, and was discussing the reason for that and other parts of that investigation. If you missed it, I encourage you to go to the Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and pull up the podcast of that first hour. It'll be posted shortly when we wrap up today. But here's Trump escalating the feud with Obama and suggesting there's more to come, suggesting Obama is going to be involved in possible crime. Now, the other day when DOJ dropped the charges, said we're dropping everything on Flynn, Obama came forward. Obama decided to speak out. He was recorded on a conversation, and obviously I guess somebody had permission to release it, but he was talking to his Obama alumni, and he was questioning the very fact that the DOJ would drop the perjury conviction on Flynn because Flynn had acknowledged, had pled guilty to perjury. Flynn said he did it because of undue pressure they were putting on my kid, going to put my kid in jail or other stuff. In other words, coercing a confession, basically. That is exactly what they did, and coercing him to make a plea of guilty. This is not the first time in history that we've had someone under investigation at whatever level, city, county, federal, and they go ahead and plead guilty just to put an end to it for a while. And that's the first thing they do in defense is start withdrawing that, saying I was coerced, I was not given full details, I didn't know, I wasn't properly informed what was underway. Well, still, Obama looks at this as a miscarriage.
That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk.
The rule of law is at risk. Obama can say that with a straight face. Well, we didn't see him. He's behind a phone. Maybe he's kind of smirking a little bit. The rule of law is at risk by the DOJ saying, we're dropping the Flynn case. The rule of law being at risk apparently did not bother Obama when he was being told that they are investigating Flynn. And he certainly didn't look at preserving the rule of law and the Constitution in the nation by saying, you guys need to let the Trump team and administration know this is going on. And never did give them any direction like that, from what we've seen testimony-wise so far. Wall Street Journal's editorial board had some reaction to the former president making his remarks. Here's part of what they wrote. Barack Obama is a lawyer. So it was stunning to read that he ventured into the Michael Flynn case in a way that misstated the supposed crime and ignored the history of his own administration in targeting Mr. Flynn. That's the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He went on to say, since the former president chose to offer his legal views when he didn't need to, we wonder, what is he really worried about? I have the same question. What is Obama really worried about as this case is dropped and all these transcripts are being released? Now, Obama insists the very fact that the Flynn case was dropped like that, he said, and I'm quoting, there's no precedent that anybody can find for someone who has been charged with perjury just getting off scot-free. Well, I have not done a legal search, but I'm willing to bet there are numerous cases where somebody who'd been charged with perjury, got off scot-free. Now, if he's trying to say convicted of perjury, got off scot-free, that'd be a different argument, but I'll still bet that has happened before because either the plea was withdrawn because it was coerced or by some other technicality. But he would have you believe this is the first time in history anyone charged with perjury has gotten off scot-free. Well, I'm thinking about Andrew McCabe and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, of course, was interviewed by FBI agents, stroke Smurf, as they were looking at her email debacle. And then later, based on what she said, Comey is telling Congress, well, we heard her admit to this and admit to that, and yes, she did not tell the truth about how many devices she had, did not have the truth on this, but we decided no reason to charge. But there's a case of perjury they didn't bother making. Andrew McCabe. Former FBI Director Andrew McCabe. He was being charged and expecting, in fact, he had been advised, be aware there may be criminal charges coming because of inaccurate statements you made to the FBI about what you were doing around the time of the 2016 election. Inaccurate statements, that's another word, a collection of words for perjury. He lied to the FBI. Do I see them charging him? Nope. Then made a decision not to charge him. And keep in mind, all this testimony that's coming out now, Democrats and Republicans were aware of what was taking place behind closed doors, but Republicans couldn't really speak about it, and Democrats weren't supposed to, because a gag was in effect to not discuss what was behind closed doors. And they had to sit there, and they would say, a couple of the Republicans say, well, Schiff is not telling you everything. That's all they could say. But Schiff would get out there and flat out say, we've got evidence, when they obviously had none. None. He went around pushing that lie constantly, that we've got proof. Every testimony being released, from Clapper to Brennan, all say, we have no empirical evidence, none. Former House Oversight Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz says, I think all of this is a smoking gun, and his attitude about Schiff is very clear.
It is absolutely stunning how many Democrats that were there in the room supporting Adam Schiff continued day after day to just flat out lie to the American people. I don't understand why Adam Schiff continues to have a security clearance.
Absolutely. Can't stress enough to you, these testimonies being released now were behind closed doors. So regardless of how damning they were for the Trump administration or not, neither side was supposed to be talking about what's going on, not even alluding to it. And Republicans started responding, only one Schiff continued to go around and say, we have more verification. And yet now the testimony coming out repeatedly from Brennan, Susan Rice, McCabe, Comey, Clapper, we have no evidence. None. None. Not this piece, that piece. No, we have none. And of course, Clapper, he could only testify about what he said because he was only in there for his testimony, but he knew what he said. And yet he would go on CNN and the other talk shows and suggest, oh, yeah, yeah, this is going to blow the Trump administration wide apart. He already knew there was nothing there. And I like the fact that the Chaffetz, former congressman, is asking that. I do not understand. I do not understand how Schiff can continue to have a security clearance.
When you go in to get an intel briefing, by the way, you sign a document that you will not reveal what's going on there. You literally, but evidently it's not worth the piece of paper that it's written on.
Obviously not. Obviously not. Now, Chaffetz does point out something that I think we're all anxious to see. That in the midst of all this stuff beginning to break and beginning to come out and being made public, and more documents are coming. Something like 6,000 pages dropped the other day. Much of it unredacted. And as I told you earlier, now we have the acting director of National Intelligence, Richard Grenell, saying, I'm going to declassify information about Obama administration officials who were behind the unmasking of Michael Flynn. Wall Street Journal reporting on that overnight, saying this is an unprecedented move coming just days after the Justice Department dropped its case against Flynn. So Richard Grenell is going to remove classification. Then it's up to Attorney General William Barr, am I going to release the names or not? Now, officials in the Obama administration have acknowledged they have unmasked some Americans in an intelligence report, but insist the reasons were legitimate. And, of course, denying leaking anything reference Flynn. Chaffetz is indicating a day of reckoning is coming.
I got to tell you, it is stunning what the upper echelon of the Department of Justice did. There's going to be a lot of talk, but what really matters is what Attorney General Barr and Mr. Durham do with this, because there need to be consequences for the misuse of power.
There should be misuse of power. And you know what the call for hearings and daily hearings now and continuous hearings from Schumer, Chuck Schumer, is? Coronavirus hearings from here through November. In other words, just don't focus on the Flynn case. Let's don't focus on any of these testimonies coming out. Let's don't focus on any rape allegations or assault allegations, I should say, against Joe Biden. None of that. And, of course, President Trump said yesterday, we're gonna see something nailed to the wall on crime.
Some terrible things happened, and it should never be allowed to happen in our country again. And you'll be seeing what's going on over the coming weeks. But I wish you'd write honestly about it. But unfortunately, you choose not to do so. Yeah, John, please.
Crime. What is the crime exactly that you're accusing him of?
You know what the crime is. The crime is very obvious to everybody. All you have to do is read the newspapers, except yours.
Except yours. Because you guys won't deal with the facts. I like it. And in the meantime, we're getting word that some important documents, particularly regarding Michael Flynn, have disappeared. They just, by magic, they just walked out the door. They vaporized. I'll break down details for you when we continue.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Oh, I can feel my face when I'm with you. My love is. And I know she'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. We're worth deep in love. Yes, I know.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Congressman Devin Nunes, ranking Republican on the House Intel Committee, was in an interview the other day, and he stated the so-called Flynn 302 is missing. 302 would be reference to the notes the agents took after they met with Flynn. He said they're just missing. We don't know where they are. He said that report, when it was taken down, after the report was transcribed, we had people at the highest level. The FBI brief us. We have other sources giving us the same information. But the agent said, look, there's nothing to see here. Flynn wasn't lying. That's what we were told on the record. That's what we knew at the beginning of 2017. So then came word that Flynn was being busted for lying to the FBI. And he talked about the testimony that took place behind closed doors, compared to what we were told by Adam Schiff and the others in public. And they knew what they were saying behind closed doors, but they were telling you something entirely different. Nunez says, what you're going to see is more of these testimonies released. You will see the deep, dark fantasies of the Democrats in the House. Sick fantasies. Said you've got Democrats in the House of Representatives accusing the Trump campaign of coordinating with Russia, when the reality was they were the ones paying for dirt they thought came from Russians and asking about sick things like pee tapes and prostitutes to every one of the witnesses who came in. He said they were using their own Russian dirt to ask questions, and it was all fake, all phony. And he adds the press was in this too, a cover-up. I'd agree. He said, then you got this quote from James Clapper. I never saw any direct empirical evidence the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting, conspiring with Russians to meddle in the elections. And, of course, then he said what they would go on the cable news network, Clapper and the others, they were ready and being paid to pontificate, and they were really tough. They were tough. But he said behind closed doors, they were weak. They were pathetic. They cowered down because they did not want to be busted on perjury charges lying to Congress. So they would not be as bold as they were talking to the American public on the talk shows. Because you can't hold anybody for perjury if they lie on a talk show. And, of course, we've got a problem here between Clapper and Comey. New transcripts, as I said earlier. Congressman Tom Rooney, Republican of Florida, had asked during one of those closed-door interviews of Clapper, former director of national intelligence, did you ever brief President Obama on the phone call, the Flynn phone calls, that they based their perjury on? Clapper's answer, one word, no. That was Clapper. Well, Comey, 5 months earlier in the House Intel Committee, said, I briefed it to the Director of National Intelligence, and Director Clapper asked me for copies, which I shared with him. In the first week of January, he briefed the President and Vice President. Whoa. Which one is lying? Maybe both? Old Biden's saying now, yeah, I was aware of the Flynn. He's admitting now he was aware because his name's also been pulled out. Then you got the media, in addition to help carrying the water for the Democrats carrying out this fraud, you've got them looking for any other way they can attack Trump. The race card, once again, it comes up so easy for them. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the news media, no surprise to you, has games it plays often, over and over again. There used to be a time. There was a time where you could trust a news anchor and the reporters and the news operation. When it came to broadcast, radio, TV, and in print, and you recognize that any opinions or whatever will be appearing in the paper on the editorial page, and the rest of it will be factual reporting. At least you were hoping so. Sometimes if you were involved in a story, you begin to realize maybe it's not so factual. And in fact, maybe it has been purposely changed. An attack was underway. Same thing with radio, TV. I got into this business X decades ago because I believed in the truth and getting the truth out and wanted to be serving the public in that sense as well. Nowadays, journalists are not held in high regard, and understandably so. And part of the problem is they're not journalists. When I look at them call out someone like Steve Acosta, the White House correspondent, you need to say the White House jackal for CNN. Quote, correspondents, quote, reporters, would be asking legitimate questions and not trying to frame them in such a way and make it an attack, not continuously, over and over again, unless you have a specific, obvious story that needs to be broken. No, what they do now is they scuttle around the corners in the shadows and lob and throw and snipe at the truth. Perfect example the other day, A.G. Barr, when being questioned about the Justice Department dropping the charges on Michael Flynn, he was asked, how will history look at this? How will history treat this decision? And he kind of laughed, said, well, history is written by winners. And when he made that remark, history is written by winners, you had suddenly had many of them coming out saying, hey, political, he's politicizing it. I'll have to admit, when I heard he made that remark, I thought, why would he say that? Well, it turns out he said that, but it was out of context, because right behind that he said, but I think history will show in this case, justice was done, a wrong was righted. When Chuck Todd did the interview or ran that clip on his air the other day on his show, they didn't have that explanation part, just the opening part. Now, do you want to blame it on a producer? You want to say the producer put it in front of Todd, he didn't know? Well, he should have known. He should have known. Because his reaction was absolute appalling that Barr would make that. And if he had known about the bite in advance, he should have been asking, well, was there anything else he said? If he's being a true, quote, journalist. But if he's just going to take it and be told, this is it. And shame on him for being sloppy, in addition to maybe scheming with the others. And the decision to put that on the air went through more than one, two, three people, I would guarantee you. And then when called on it, they decided to issue a kind of an apology. Not real apology, but kind of an apology. Saying that we didn't run the entire soundbite. Sorry, we didn't see it. We overlooked it. Whatever. It was an excuse. And, of course, the whole point of the leftist media is attack Trump and the administration. And the closer we get to November, do more, do more. So, yesterday, in the Rose Garden, President Trump is answering questions about coronavirus and treating and so forth. And a CBS News reporter, Weijia Zhang, I believe she's been identified as an Asian American. Her name, Weijia Zhang, J-I-A-N-G, certainly indicate Asian of some type, one way or the other. Doesn't mean she's not American, but she's there as part of the reporter crew. And she used this question for Trump. You said, this is not a question, this is a setup, but listen to how they play it. You said many times that the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing. First of all, what's wrong with the president saying that? It is, in fact, and what's wrong with them saying it? But then her next remark, this is where they begin to pull the knives. You said many times the U.S. is doing far better than any other country when it comes to testing. Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if every day Americans are still losing their lives and we're seeing more cases every day? In other words, you're an idiot, Trump, because you're talking about how much better we're doing than other countries. Why does that matter? Why is it a global competition? The point is, it's been not acknowledged in searching for the vaccine. Some have said, if China gets the vaccine first, don't expect them to share it. So global competition is very key here, legitimately. But just because he makes a remark that, hey, we're doing better than anyone else when it comes to testing, the left sees an avenue to attack. Why does that matter? Why is this a global competition to you if everyday Americans are still losing their lives and we're still seeing more cases every year? That's the setup. Here's Trump's response.
Maybe that's a question you should ask China. Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
What, sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you, I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question.
That's
like
not
that.
A nasty question.
Please go ahead.
Why does it matter?
Okay, anybody else?
A nasty question, as the president describes it. She says it's not. And why did you use that reference to me? Why did you talk about China when you're talking to me? In other words, suggesting you're being racist, aren't you? Here comes CNN's Stoeltler, because he thinks he's knowledgeable in everything, and he polices all the networks, especially, well, if it's not CNN. And he's saying it's a clear example, this president, of what he's doing.
What we saw in that exchange with Weijia Zhang is something that has racial overtones. It is racist to look at an Asian-American White House correspondent and say, ask China. This isn't happening in a vacuum. This is part of a pattern of behavior from the president that goes back many years. So he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt that someone might have if, for the first time ever in their life, they made a comment like that to a reporter.
What comment did he make? He simply said, ask China. You want to know why this matters if we're doing better than others? Why is it a global competition? Why don't you ask China? And, of course, she said, why did you do? I'm so harmed. You're talking about my ethnicity when you did that, weren't you? And, of course, Stelter continues to pile on.
Here today, he's saying to a Chinese-born journalist, ask China. Now, of course, he says he was directing it. He would have said the same thing to anyone. But the pattern suggests otherwise. The pattern suggests a racial reaction to certain individuals in the press corps. And that's deeply, deeply disturbing. As much as we are competitive in the press corps, I think it's important we show solidarity in moments like this and call out racial kind of reactions from the president.
It wasn't racial. He was saying, ask China. Now, I don't know if he would have said, if the same question had been raised by someone not of Chinese or Asian ethnicity, if he would have phrased it the same way. I don't know. They don't either. But, of course, as Steltner already said, we can't give him the benefit of doubt. We cannot do that, not with him, because Trump and his White House have shown what they're capable of.
They're treating the Michael Flynn story like it's a bigger deal than the deaths of 2,000 Americans a day. You know, we're seeing this on Fox and Friends and other shows. When the president called into Fox and Friends the other morning, Friday morning, right before the unemployment rate numbers came out, he talked about the Flynn case for 20 minutes before he was asked about the pandemic. In what right mind is any scandal, any political scandal, any Department of Justice story more important to ask the president about than the pandemic that's raging? Look, ultimately, that's about news judgment. It's about lack of judgment. But I find it befuddling that some people are acting like this death toll is just normal and accepted and common and just another day now. Imagine if 1 to 2,000 Americans were dying a day from terror attacks. Imagine the president's response.
Well, again, they're going to take something and try to have you think that the president really doesn't care about the deaths. And according to what Stelter said, and I haven't checked the interview that he's referring to, I think the president was responding to questions being asked of him of Fox News at the time that he didn't jump into the Barr case. I don't know. Doesn't make any difference to me. They both deserve attention. But what gets Stelter and gets the left, because if President Trump and the administration and other members of Congress are talking about the Flynn investigation, how it was mishandled, and all this stuff going up to the Obama White House and the fake Mueller case, all of this stuff, by doing that, it's hurting. It's going to hurt them. And by talking about Joe Biden and the allegation again, that hurts. So they said, just focus on the coronavirus, please. This is more important than anything. No one's denying a death is not important. But they would have you believe that everything right now has to do with the coronavirus. And in doing that, they're also going to make sure you believe and know, in their opinion, that this administration is failing to protect you from the coronavirus, is failing all the way around. In other words, they can't really go after these testimonies now being released from behind closed doors. They can't do anything more to Tara Reid than what they've already tried to dismiss her. So what else can we attack Trump on? And as I said earlier, Senator Schumer is saying we should have coronavirus hearings over and over again. And then, of course, you have the reaction from Hollywood.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Staying alive.
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So again, Brian Stelter of CNN was talking about how disappointing it is that we continue to see those on the right focus so much on the Flynn case and trying to debunk the Mueller investigation. And saying it's more important that we're losing 2,000 dead. It's just another day for the right-wing media obsessed with the deep state. Russia probe, Michael Flynn. Let me read the exact quote from him again. It is so disappointing to look at what we're seeing from right-wing media these days, where there is such an obsession with the deep state and these revelations about the Russian probe. Well, when the Russian probe was going on the track they loved and it had not been derailed and it could still have all kinds of possibility, which media do you think was dealing with it day in and day out, 24/7, second to second? You know it was the left. Because they thought this could destroy Trump. This could destroy Trump, so they kept it in front of you all the time. They realize now this is backfiring, just like the Mueller investigation, as did the Ukraine quid pro quo. All that blew up in their face. So now look at the coronavirus. We can claim that Trump's not doing what he should be doing on coronavirus for Obama, like the other day, coming out and saying it's chaotic. And, of course, don't forget Obama also the other day called out the discharge of or dropping of the Flynn case from the DOJ, basically undoing the rule of law, as if they know what the rule of law is. Well, he does get his supporters. The Hollywood elite start rushing forward as Obama made that statement because, again, it's an opportunity, open door to attack Donald Trump. I'm looking at some of these. Some of them you don't even really know, but they're out of Hollywood. Filmmaker Duvernay saying, what is this, food for the hungry, unemployment strategy? Nah. Suggesting the administration has nothing really to offer. Barbara Streisand checking in about the rule of law is under siege. Barack Obama is right. The rule of law is under siege in our nation. William Barr behaves like Trump's personal cover-up lawyer, then attorney general. I'd say the same thing about the FBI under Obama at the time, but I'll say that for another time. And then you've got Oscar-winning actress Patricia Arquette said, I'm blocking anyone that uses the hashtag Obamagate, because that's what Trump had said about this thing. Actor Jeffrey Wright saying, calling it Obamagate is just so effing stupid. Meanwhile, 80,000-plus Americans dead in the 2 months from Trump administration incompetence, malevolence, and chaos. Obviously wrong on all those points. And I don't see them calling out Governor Cuomo for telling hospitals you have to send your COVID possible patients or confirmed patients to the nursing home when they're released from the hospital, putting them right into harm's way additionally and threatening those already in the homes. And, of course, one of the stars of SVU says this is, again, an opportunity for Trump by shouting Obamagate to distract the public, as if he's saying, help me, I'm running out of distractions and things to blame. There's nothing new in any of that, but I just, you know, I think it's occasionally, I put myself through doing that, and I'll make you read it too, but I read it. And then you got Jimmy Kimmel, another one of the leftists. We were talking earlier about fake news, fabricated news, false stories. Told you about Chuck Todd, how they purposely, maliciously edited out a key part of an Attorney General Barr statement the other day, and then when cornered about it, well, they said, oh, our bad, we overlooked that part, our mistake. They didn't really make an apology. So ABC Jimmy Kimmel the other day ran a piece of video showing Vice President Pence delivering medical supplies to an elder care facility. And at some point during, Pence is told by some of the, is told that some of the boxes are empty, and he jokes to staffers, well, should I carry these into the hospital? They're just for, you know, for pictures? I don't know. I think he's kind of joking about it. Well, that one little part, somewhere in there, ABC's Jimmy Kimmel said he watched part of that on C-SPAN, indicating that he was joking about carrying empty boxes for cameras. So then they ran a clip of that on his program that night. saying all he's doing is carrying empty boxes, when in fact he wasn't. He was carrying those with protective gear, not empty boxes. Well, Jimmy Kimmel put that out and immediately got hammered by many calling him out, saying that's false, deceptive video. He did have stuff in it. So then Kimmel deleted a tweet around it and said, I apologize for mischaracterizing Pence's actions. I apologize. See, that's what they do. They'd rather do something and apologize afterwards. It's as a kid you learn, do I ask for permission, be denied, and then go do it and get in more trouble? Is it better just to not ask? So then it's not an act of commission, but an act of omission. Make my mistake, let them challenge me, let them threaten to spank me, and I can say, well, I didn't know. But if I ask and I'm told one answer and I violate it, then they know. The leftist media plays that game so well. Act of omission. And then, oh, so sorry. Right. That wraps today's program. Already preparing for you for tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.